God entrusted the greatest message that was ever told to a bunch of stinky, smelly shepherds. But that really shouldn't surprise us. God's always worked wonders in the presence of the forgotten, the despised, the lowly. From the very, very beginning of his time on earth, Jesus came to those who felt horrible and were humble. Matthew chapter 9, verses 12 and 13 says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician. Those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus reached out to the forgotten, to the demon-possessed, to the strangers, to the Samaritans. And Luke 1:52 says he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. Wow. How cool is that? Look at what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:26. "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." This morning, I want us to look at some lessons found in Luke chapter 2 as we look at the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ and the shepherds on the hillside and their response and their reaction. So as we begin, we find that the first thing we learn about the shepherds is that they were attentive. So we should be attentive. They were attentive to their jobs. They were paying attention to those things that they were responsible for and those things that they were about, that they were to be about doing. Look at verse 8. It says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night." They were so committed to their responsibilities that they never left. This was a 24/7 job that they had, and they were always there. We see not only were they being attentive, but they were faithful. It says they were about the business of keeping watch. Now, this was late at night. Somebody was watching. Somebody was paying attention. Often at nighttime, several shepherds would bring their flocks together into one fold, and then one of the shepherds would lie across the entrance to that fold while the rest of them went to get some sleep, and he would lie there so that two things: one, that sheep wouldn't get out, and two, that predators wouldn't get in and eat or steal the sheep. So this was what was going on that night. And that understanding of the shepherds at the sheepfold might give us a new insight into what we see as we look at John chapter 10, verse 9, where Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." we get a little bit clearer picture of what Jesus is doing for us as he says, I am the door. We should be attentive, folks, to whatever it is that God has called us to at this particular stage in our lives to be doing. We ought to be attentive to it, and we ought to be doing it with excellence. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. Doesn't matter if you're employed, it doesn't matter who's signing your paycheck, do what you're doing at that job as though you were doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If you're a Sunday school teacher, don't be doing it for the class, and don't be doing it for the church, and don't be doing it for the preacher. Do what you're doing as though you are doing it for and in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If you're a homemaker, do it as though you're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a parent, parent not for fulfilling your responsibilities and not for the feel-good feeling that you may get and not for the well-being of your child, but you parent those children as though you were parenting for Jesus Christ himself. And those kids will turn out just fine. We need to be attentive to what we're called to do, and we need to do it with excellence. Shepherds were considered by most people to be rather insignificant people. But you know what? They were not insignificant to God Almighty. They were not insignificant to God, just as you and I are not insignificant to God. Did you hear what I just said about you? I just said that you are not insignificant to God. Do you have that? Then I want you to say it. And I want you to believe it as you say it. I am not insignificant to God. With all this, I couldn't hear you, so you say it, I'll listen. I am not insignificant to God. That's better. I want you to believe that today. And then I want you to believe it tomorrow. And then when that day comes that you're into dum-dums, I want you to believe it then. And that day comes every now and again. You are created in the image of God. But even being created in the image of God, you are created, listen to this, as an original masterpiece. You got that? The God of glory, the God that spoke the universe into being, created you. He shaped you and formed you in your mother's womb. He knew you before you were shaped and formed in your mother's womb. And the God of creation doesn't make trash. He created each of you as an original masterpiece. And then the signature of the artist, the signature of the created, is inscribed on your soul. They were being attentive. We should be attentive. And then we should be awed. We should be in awe. While they were being attentive to their responsibilities, They were suddenly awed by an angelic announcement that took place. Luke 2:9 says, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear." Well, God's glory shines through and lights up the night sky. And they started shaking in their sandals. Whoa. What is this? The truth of the matter is, folks, whenever we come to face with God's holiness, we fall apart because of our sinfulness. Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and then I said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." When we see the glory of God, we see the sinfulness and the need of ourselves. Peter had the same response when he said to Jesus in Luke 5:8, "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" I wonder if maybe they were in awe, if maybe they were afraid. Because maybe they thought, whoa, it's judgment time. I wonder if they thought, my sins have found me out. This is it. This is the judgment that the prophets talked about. Whatever the case, they were struck with awe. They were afraid. And this would be like saying that that bunch of pirates were scared. It took a lot to get to these guys. They were life hardened. They weren't the tiptoe through the tulips type. They were tough guys. When was the last time that you were awestruck in the presence of the Messiah? When was the last time that you recognized something that God had done and it just totally left you amazed? We ought to have those moments more than we do, folks. Then they were accepting, and we should be accepting. The shepherds were filled with awe, and now they accept the message of good news, the message of great joy for all people. The message is for all people. But that's too generalized, folks. We have to also understand, even though it is for everybody, it is for you. This message the shepherd or the angels gave. It's better, isn't it? This message is for you. It's got your name on it. Now, after giving some specifics in the message, this angel was joined by a whole multitude of angels. And they filled the skies and that region with praising God. They were rejoicing, giving God glory. Now we understand, we know that the shepherds accepted the message that the angels give, because we'll see later that they go to Bethlehem. But right now, focus on what the angels were doing. It says they were praising God. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." Wow. That's what they were accepting. They were hearing and they were accepting the word of God. Now, way more people hear the word of God than ever accept it. And way more Christians hear more of the word of God than we ever accept and make a part of our lives. But they were accepting it. God's good news is a gift, guys. Yes. But that good news isn't activated until you receive it. I had to get a new debit card not long ago. And so the bank ordered me a new debit card, and it came in the mail, and it was absolutely useless to me, laying there on my desk in that envelope. But I had to receive it. I had to take what they had sent me and open it up and make it mine. I even had to activate it by calling a number on the telephone. God's got all of this gift for you in Jesus Christ, and then he's got all of these other gifts and promises for you throughout the entirety of your life as you come to know him as Savior. But none of the gifts that God has for you will ever be activated until you take a hold of them and make them yours. I sit with people and I talk with people and I say, this is what God has said about all of this. And they say, I know that, I know that, I know that. Yes, you know it, but you're not experiencing it. You're not experiencing it because you haven't made it your own. You've accepted it as something that God is doing and wants to do, and somebody else has gotten benefit of that because you've heard them talk about how God did that in their lives. But he hadn't done it in your life because you ain't made it your own. You haven't received the gift. You haven't activated it. We have to accept the gift. Then they acted. The shepherds, they did something. They didn't just hear the news and say, oh, wow, that's great. What comes next? They acted on the news that they heard. They didn't just receive the message and enjoy it. Now, let me say this. I appreciate it when people tell me, and some of you have done it, I appreciate it when people tell me that they enjoyed the message. You know, you always like a little pat on the back, don't you, Richard? Yeah. I had a lady in church years ago. Every service, didn't matter whether it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, didn't matter. Every service, she'd walk out the door, she got to the door, she'd grab my hand, and she'd say, "Enjoyed it, preacher." Every time. After getting to know her a bit, after being her pastor for a while, I had to have lockjaw when she came out the door. I had to grit my teeth and keep my mouth shut because I so bad wanted to say, "I wish you'd quit enjoying it and start acting on it. Start living it." The message that God gives us is not for our enjoyment. It is for our life. It is to make an impact on who I am and what I am and what I do and what I say and how I go about doing and saying. That's why God speaks to our hearts. That's why he sent the angels to the shepherds that night, so they could do something. Not so they could just say, "No kidding. Nice story. Enjoyed that little visit." But so they could do something. Luke 2:16 says, "And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger." It says they acted on it. They hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph, and they found the baby lying in the manger, just like the angels had said they would. Understand this. You might want to write this down, because this is important. Acceptance of God's word always requires us to act. Did you get that? Every time I make a section, a part of God's word, a real part of my life, it means I'm going to do something. And generally, that means something different or more or deeper. James chapter 2, verse 17 says, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." If I believe something, it forces me to act on it. Got that? That's important. They went and they saw. The first thing they did was they went to Bethlehem. They wanted to see this baby with their own eyes. They heard the word of God. They heard what the angels said. They wanted it to be real by experience. That's what we ought to be doing every day. We ought to read the word of God. We ought to hear the word of God. We ought to receive the word of God. And we ought to want to make it real in our own lives by the experience as we go forward and trust God. They wanted to experience the gift of Christmas for themselves. Check it out. Get this picture. dirty, smelly, unclean shepherds came to a dirty, smelly stable to see the Holy of Holies lying on a bed of hay. What kind of picture is that? Wow. Here he is. Now they weren't done doing yet. They came and they saw. And then it says, they left and they shared. You know, when the shepherds got there, they didn't do like we're likely to do. They didn't pull up a bale of hay and sit back and stick a straw between their teeth and start jawing. That wasn't what it was about. They witnessed this miracle. And they went out to share about it. They went to tell this news. Now, I think it is important for us to understand that the message that they had to tell had nothing to do with Joseph. And it had nothing to do with Mary. And it had nothing to do with a multitude of angels. They came, they saw the baby, and they went out as heralds of God's good news. Luke 2:17 says, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. Concerning the child. Not concerning Joseph's carpentry shop. Not concerning the magnificence and the beauty of the child mother of Mary. They didn't even talk about the dirty old stable. Of course, they didn't notice the dirty stable. They were shepherds. They talked about the child. And when the scripture says they made known, it means they told the story of the birth of Jesus Christ to other people in a way that those people could understand it. They didn't use signs and symbols that the people we're talking to couldn't understand. If they used illustrations, they used illustrations that were understandable by the people they were talking to. What we find here is once they had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, they couldn't keep quiet about it. Can you? Then it says they adored. Look at this. The shepherds went back. They went back to the same boring jobs they had before they went to Bethlehem. They went back. But even though they went back to the same boring jobs they had before they went to Bethlehem, they didn't go back the same on the inside. But they went back to being attentive again. To being faithful of their responsibilities. Verse 20 says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. They went back to the same place, same job, different men, because they went back praising God and glorifying Him for all of the good news that He had shared with them. It's almost Christmas. We're busy decorating and doing special music things and having parties and buying gifts and drinking eggnog and selling gifts or giving gifts and eating cake. And that was a hint. We'll go back to the same lives. But having encountered the good news, we should go back to our lives a little differently than we started the season. You say, well, I'm 75. I've been doing this Christmas thing for 75 years. Yeah? What's your point? Well, I've got it now. You don't either. You don't either. You're still using God's air on God's planet. You're still able at some level to wake up in the morning. I know some of you do a better job of that than others. But you're still waking up in the morning. And so God has left you here. And while He has left you here, He has left you here for the purpose of glorifying and honoring and serving Him. And He knows that while you're still here, you still have a need to grow and still have fresh encounters with Him and still receive new understandings and new revelations of the good news that He has for all people, even you. Even you. And so they adored Him. They weren't just amazed at what they had seen and heard. It caused them to adore and to worship and to praise. Worship. Praise. Adoration. Clear evidence of salvation is adoring the Messiah, praising Jesus. There is a truth, even though some try to stifle it, there is a truth. When a person is truly saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, coming to Him in faith that has been given to us by God, when a person truly is born again, that person will praise God. And there's no maybes about that. That is truth. So, let me take a few minutes and have you go to one of our favorites. Let's go to the Christmas pageant. Let's put it in our minds. You're all going to be participants in our Christmas pageant. Would you like to be Joseph? Ooh, would I like to be Joseph? I get to wear one of the nice robes. And I get close to Mary, maybe I want to be Joseph. Would you like to be Mary? Ooh, I get to be Mary. I get to sit in a place of prominence because I have the baby. The light's going to be on me almost all the time. Ooh, do I want to be Mary? Do I get to be a sheep? Would you like to be a sheep? I get to wear one of those fuzzy costumes. My face gets hid. Nobody knows who it is. And all I have to do is go, bah. Maybe I want to be a sheep. Would you like to be a cow? Their costumes aren't as cute. I'm not big enough to fill it up. I don't want to just do moo. No, I don't want to be a cow. Would you like to be a wise man? I've seen some of these pageants even let ladies be wise men because they put so much costume and cover their heads and everything is so fancied up. They don't know whether it's a man or woman anyhow if I didn't put my lipstick on. All those nice clothes. You want to be a wise man? Maybe you'd like to be a tree. Yes, a tree. I can just stand there propped up against the rail, hold my arms out. I don't have to do nothing or say nothing. And if I need to move, I can pretend the wind's blowing. Maybe I won't be a tree. How about the first angel? Would you like to be the first angel? Do I want to be an angel? Let's think. Beautiful white costume. Lights on, crown. So pretty. That ceiling's pretty high, though, and I've seen those angels get tangled up in those ropes and their costume get turned around and them upside. No, I don't want to be an angel. Well, would you like to be a shepherd? Shepherd. They got to hear the news first. They went and saw the baby. They went and told everybody else what God was doing. Maybe I should be a shepherd. That's it. Trey and I, we want to be shepherds. You see, Christmas is history. But it needs to be your story. Your story for you to tell. So that brings me to the place that we always get to, the place where I want to ask questions. The place that causes us to think. the place that causes us to act. So the first question is this. Is this Jesus that was born in the manger, is he Savior to you? Is he Savior to you? Have you come to the place in your life where you've acknowledged your sin to God, acknowledged that Jesus is the living Son of God who was crucified, dead, and buried for your sin? And by faith, accepted his sacrifice on your behalf, believing that God will save you and cleanse you and give you new birth into his family forever. Have you come to that place? If not, let me encourage you to do that today. Listen to the scripture in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Second question, is he Lord to you? Is he in control of your life? Do you do the things you do as if you were doing them just for him and him alone? Joshua 24, 15 says, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is he Lord to you today? Pray with me. Father, help us to be shepherds. Help us to hear the good news, to receive the good news, to act on the good news, and to share the good news. We pray for any in this place today that may not yet have accepted Christ as their Savior. There's no better moment than right now for them to say, yes, God, save me in Jesus' name. I know I'm a sinner and I confess to you. I want to make Jesus my own. Lord, would you just work in hearts and lives today? And then when we leave this place, would you find a way to glorify yourself through us? In Jesus' name, amen.